It's Erica, and we are back with another off-season episode. Y'all, I miss you, but I'm really, really digging our tribe over on Patreon and us releasing new episodes over there. So if you miss our weekly episodes, make sure you hit the link in this episode to subscribe to Patreon and get these off-season episodes. So right now, I'm about to give you a little taste of an episode that we just posted on Patreon. It's featuring Shanisha Boswell, the founder of Black Mom's Blog. She's also an author of Oh Sis, You're Pregnant, and has a new book out called The Girl's Guide to Puberty. She's also the founder of the Self-Care Retreat and just an overall incredible mother, woman, entrepreneur, and is a big inspiration to us. On this episode, we go in, y'all. We're talking about conspiracy theories and population control, the anti-woman, anti-man narrative, and how that's affecting how many babies are being born. We also dive into this concept of, does anybody in this motherfucker have original thoughts? Because it's unclear. We also talk about Shanisha's move to Colombia with her daughter and just reimagining her life outside of the United States. So enjoy this teaser with Shanisha Boswell and make sure you click the link in this episode description to listen to the full episode and watch the full episode on Patreon. Enjoy. I think the duality is important. I think leaning heavier in the feminine is ideal, but that we have the masculine for a reason. So
balance, baby.
Balance, baby.
I was just talking to Orlando about this last night, about like men also leaning into their femininity, but like it being so necessary, because if a man can lead in softness, it disarms the woman. You know what I mean? But it's like women do look to men to lead, but I'm going to trust a man that I see being soft with me and nurturing with me, and then it's going to make me disarm and be the same way with him. But if a man is on some fuck shit, I'm going to be on some fuck shit times 10. And so I realize it's like, it's really the balance of both, so that you can tap into either well when necessary. And like, even for Orlando, he's like, he's disarmed me a lot when I'm like, we're arguing and he touches me or he kisses me or he's like, girl, you know what I mean? But it softened me. So when we do argue, I know I can bring the same energy because he's led in that way. And I just think it's necessary. I think we think of like masculinity and femininity as these two polar opposites, but we have to exist in both in order to be like balanced in life.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend about that today, about the submission. And it's always this conversation around women submitting to men, but men not understanding they also have to submit to their woman. And it creates this beautiful cycle, right? So me submitting to you and you submitting to me is you bringing in that softness to say, let me just kiss. I'm not about to argue with you right now, right? I'm going to give you some love because I know that's what you mean. It's not about the last word or who has to be right. It's just submission is the comfort. It's the vulnerability. And so, yeah, but I mean, I think when masculinity, femininity, after this conversation with us has been so drawn out in such a way to where they've almost kind of become like trending words, you know what I mean? Like everyone's using this hot topic word, but not really understanding how to apply the concept, whether it be in work or whether it be in love or parenting or self, and it's just tricky. It's tricky. So I don't know. That's a targeted conversation.
I know. It's so annoying. I'm so sick of hearing the black love wars online. I'm like, we love each other. We need to mend the relationship. This is
I just feel like I'm a conspiracy theorist with all of that. I think it's all population control. And one of my favorite movies is Inception. And Inception talks about how when you want something to happen, you have to make the person feel like it's their original idea. Right? Because if someone tells you not to do this, you're not going to do it. And so the whole, you know, media is pushed in a way that they want people to view it, whether it's popular or not. And when it's pushed that way, they push certain agendas. And then the last few years, there has been a rise of the anti-woman, anti-man conversations. And when you really think about it, you're starting to see a lot of men who like women sexually, but don't like them emotionally. And vice versa, a lot of women who like men for their money and their things, but they can't stand niggas. Like, they can't stand them. Can I say niggas?
You can.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure. I was like, can I say that?
Yeah.
So,
you
can
do it.
Yeah. Nigga.
So, when you think of that, ultimately you end up with two genders of people who are like, I don't like you, I don't like you, I'd rather do this by myself, and there's no resolution being had. And in 20, 30 years, people ain't having kids no more. Because women are like, I'm not about to keep having kids with y'all. And men aren't, you know, it's just a thing. So that's a whole nother conversation. I can go into that all day. But I swear.
But baby, I'm going to have to call you after this because you know I love a conspiracy theory. And I'm with you. I do think there's a tactic to, you know,
So now people are like, they're using, that's what I mean by like, when I hear like trending words and trending conversations, you're thinking it's your own idea. You're thinking you're coming to this by yourself. But you're also putting this in your brain every single day from social media, overindulgence, radio, music. And then you wake up and you're like, I feel this way. You don't feel like that. They just told you it was okay to feel like that today. And now you're here. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is the definition of inception.
Yeah, we see the influx of hate of women. I feel it. Like of baby mamas, of women, of mothers.
I'm like
the Kevin
really
Samuels and the Andrew
us.
Tates. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
And then the algorithm pushing certain narratives that about women and just like the things that people are clicking on. And then there are certain women that are like totally fucking everything up that are getting a lot of attention. I can think of one in particular.
I mean, but people
girl,
would say that about us.
Look, 2024 is the year of no silent shade. We are not subtweeting.
Not no silent shade.
Look, you talking about I know one in particular.
It's not even more fucking it up. It's just that this person in particular just needs a lot of healing, and she's highly intelligent, but she just enjoys getting disrespected by men for some reason. And
I don't know if she's highly intelligent.
Maybe not.
I love that you. You know what?
I love
that you said that, Jamila. Hold on. In the spirit of accountability, can we? You know, I'm gonna get in trouble. Let me be quiet. Call me after the podcast. Okay, so let me say this. Let me say this. I think in the spirit of accountability with women, we have to stop asserting that everything is queen behavior, everything is goddess behavior, everything is this, everything is that, when in reality, everything isn't. You know what I'm saying? And so we have a hard time saying that sometimes because we don't want to judge. We don't want to, but that leaves no room for growth. It leaves no room. Like you said, if you know the girl who's busting it open all the time because she got childhood trauma, and someone's like, let her be free. And you're like, actually, no, this doesn't work. And this is why. How do we get there? How do we help figure that out? Because a person can be sexually liberated and it can come out of a place of like, I love fucking. That's what I do. And then the other side is I'm actually really jacked up on the inside and no one's correcting my behavior. No one's setting me aside to say, maybe this is why. You got daddy issues. You got mama issues. How do we fix that? And then, boom, we got a solution.
It makes me think of this podcast I did recently where this man asked me my perspective on my brand potentially being an irresponsible liberation. Oh, no. Was it liberation?
Wait, was it irresponsible liberation or negative?
No. Irresponsible liberation.
Yeah. Leading like some irresponsible liberation.
And for me, I was like... Yes, that does exist, I guess. To me, those two words are like oil and water. Like, how can you be radical and then all, was it irresponsible radicalness? Okay, how can you be a radical person that's pushing like people forward or your people forward or your message forward and be responsible in the eyes of the public? Like, I don't think any movement has been considered responsible.
Well, the systems that be,
you know what I mean? Like, as it pertains to me, us, because I think we've been very honest about our mistakes. We've been really honest, open about our healing. We've been open about our processes. It's not like we're just out here to like busting it open and not going to therapy. You know, like
we
did
both.
There's a balance that has to exist, and I think for the women that are lost, that are just liberation, sexual liberation forward and not really checking the boxes as to why it is I feel like I need to present myself this way or why it is that this is this me or is this for attention
or
is
this trauma
or is this, you know, like not really checking to make sure like this is actually who I am and this is where I feel the healthiest, this is where I feel like my highest self, this is where I feel the most respected, and I'm okay if people don't understand that. Like, I think that people do things for clicks, people do things for attention. And then because of that, everyone that participates in this liberation of women gets categorized into one space of being irresponsible or hoes or whores or whatever it is, you know?
I think that is a matter of the person taking in the message, right? So like, let a man ask you that question.
Right. The message isn't for him.
The message isn't for him, right? So it's easy to, and I always say this, as men, the patriarchy has been set up that you benefit from women being suppressed in many ways. And so if I am a man who's benefiting from the patriarchy and I see someone who is maybe not healed from trauma and acting out in a way that's cloaked in liberation, and then I see us, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, it's all the same shit. They're just, you know, some hoes, you know, calling wholeness freedom. But if I'm an intellectual individual and I'm going to actually dissect and listen to the message, I'm going to be able to differentiate these groups of women or people very easily. But if you're so gung-ho about blanket statement and generalizing a whole group of women because it benefits you to be like, they're all hoes, and you don't have to actually listen and, you know, really take in what we're saying, then it's, of course you're going to say that. It's easy to say that. So I think it just really, it's like the level of maturity and emotional intelligence of the person receiving the message. And that's why it's so disrespectful to me. Like, even in our experience dating guys, or just, you know, we don't get a lot of disrespect from the internet that often, but just personally, I've had experiences and I'm like, whoa, what do you think of me? Who do you think that I am? And I'm like, I know that we're maybe risque on the internet, but I feel very much as a respected woman that I carry myself that way. But there's also a small percentage who will take the time. And we know we have men in our audience, but like, who will actually listen. And I think that's kind of the obstacle with liberated women, because as we seek companionships, there's a lot of misconceptions around what women look like who run their own businesses, women who liberate women, and what that comes with. What has your dating experience been being like a boss ass mom? You know, like what have you encountered with men? Even though I know like your brand is not as risque as ours, you know, but like just in general as a bossy boss mom.
As a bossy boss mom, yeah, I mean, I think that my experience with men, because my brand isn't risque, it's not that risque, I get a lot of men who are uncomfortable with the amount of how I travel. That is a real thing. Like, this concept of me being outside as much as I'm outside, what are you doing when you're outside? Because I think the difference is, for a lot of men, when they travel and they go on guys' trips, they are going to have sex. Not every man, but that's what they do. They go on these trips, they, you know, go to sleep in till 3 p.m., party all night, pick up hoes. That's their trip. So when they see us as women, especially in Colombia, right? I mean, come on, it's the land of passport, bro. And so when they think of us as women doing trips, they can't believe that we're actually going to sightsee, that we're actually sitting in meditation, that we're actually just resting and sleeping in. It's this weird concept that a woman can go outside and be responsible, because it's a projection of sometimes their irresponsibility. And the fact that, you know, there are people out there that aren't going to do that, right? There are women out here that are like, hey, you know what? I haven't had sex in 2 years. I'm about to go to Jamaica. I'm gonna bust it open and I'm gonna go home and be a virgin again. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think that's the problem with generalizations in general, right? And I have like a really women-centered platform. So like, even on my platform, it's women. It's like 91% women, like 8% men. I did a post last week and I was like, I'm single, shoot your shot. I got one response and it was like the face. And I said, listen, you start to question yourself, because I talk to women, they're like, this man's in my DMs, this person's coming at me, this man's offering to pay my rent tomorrow. And I'm like, God, am I ugly? Like, maybe I'm not as cute as I thought I was. Like, you start to question everything, because, you know, I don't have a platform that there are men on like that. And so, but yeah, that's my life right now.
I resonate with that. I think people always assume that, like, my DMs are crazy or something. And, no. Bitch, my DMs are dry as hell because a bunch of bitches crazy. Follow me. Even on my personal page. I be getting some bitches that want to fuck. But no, thank you.
It's so dry.
And some of that too. I've questioned. I'm like, no. So no one. I think that there's also this perception that, you know, powerful women or women that are leading in their space don't need help, don't need support, don't need certain things, and so men don't always know how to, like, if they're a man that would pay your rent or would whatever, like, spoil you in some way. Mm-hmm. Me and you are not the prototype, Shanika.
No, no, I know. I've heard this. Because
I would really have liked my rent to be paid a few times 10, 100.
I think some women just have, like, sugar baby energy and some women don't. Because I've never had a sugar daddy.
Well, I have a friend who she's recently divorced, and she's back on the internets, and she is getting bags, she is getting all types of gifts. And I was like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing over there? And then I started looking at her stories, and I realized her tactic. She... Now, you know, we couldn't give you all of it. So make sure you click the link in this episode and check out the full episode on Patreon with Shanisha. We miss you. We love you. I hope you have a beautiful week, and we'll see you soon.